1, 2, 1.
It's time for the Better Horses Radio Show with Ernie Rodina. Saddle up and ride as we explore the Western way of life, horses and cows, family and friends, a relationship with the land, and a relationship with God. It's all here on Better Horses Radio. Now let's hit the trail with Ernie and his co-host, Don Dawson.
Whoa. Hey, don't touch that dog, folks. It is time to get around and talk horses. Hey, everybody, I'm Ernie Rodina.
I'm Rod McDaniel.
And I'm Don Dawson.
Welcome to the Better Horses Radio Show, and so glad you could join us today. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, gosh, we're doing great. We were just talking before we went on air. Now, there's a spring in our step.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Well, with a spring in your step or not, we are needing to get this show started off right, and we're going to do it right with Pastor Steve Stafford. Are you with us, Pastor Steve?
I'm here. It's good to be with you kids.
Great to have you here, Steve. Can you get us started off right, Steve?
Well, Ernie, let's just give it a try. Hey, folks, you know what? It's always good to be with you. Now, today, I wanted to talk to you about something that all of us have to deal with, and nobody wants to. It's one of the most deadly things that we deal with in our lives. It's called gossip. We all have been a victim to this deadly disease. There's never anything productive in gossip. No one is edified. In fact, many friendships have come to an end. Many relationships have ended. I've even heard of people losing their job because of senseless, useless gossip. There's an old native proverb that says, it is better to have less thunder in the mouth than more lightning in the hand. Less thunder in your mouth, in your speech, in the things that we hear and repeat. Remember what our moms always taught us as kids? If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. I think that's pretty good advice. You know, that old native proverb went on to say, it is better to have more lightning in the hand. Now, if you want lightning in your hands, then hold up the word of God. Pick up a Bible. Open it. Read it. Then speak. You know, there's another old saying, the difference between the right words to say and the almost right words is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. So let's be careful of what we say, who we say it to, and who we say it about. Hey, this is Steve Stafford. I am the pastor at Risen Ranch Cowboy Church and a very proud member of the Better Horses family.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Steve. Yeah, it's always good to hear from you, especially when you're talking about that contagious disease gossip. I've caught that and probably passed that on before. So thanks for that reminder. We need to put a stop to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'll have to admit that I just heard some news the other day and I withheld from calling somebody that they might need to know about it. And so I've been very strong-willed not to portray or not to do that game. So
there you go. You stop that gossip disease in its tracks there, Dawn.
I'm trying. I didn't realize I was doing something good. I was just trying not to be bad.
Tell us what it was.
All right, kids.
All right, Steve. Hey, thank you so much. Always good to have you on the radio.
Thanks,
with
Steve.
Us, Pard.
We love you, buddy.
Hey, it's always good to be with you guys. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right. Love you, Butch.
Love you, too. Bye now.
Hey, you guys, we've got a great show lined up today. It's going to be pretty simple. We've got Guy McLean, and we have saved quite a bit of time for him today on the show because we have a lot to talk about to the guy,
He's one of the best in the industry, I think.
Yeah. He's fun to talk to. And so we just didn't want to run out of time this time. And then we've got a Better Cattle segment with Brandon Palaska. You want to stay tuned for that because he's got an update on their sale going on in March. So,
well, Dawn, I can't wait. Yep, I can't wait to hear that. But right now, you know what time it is, don't you, Ernie?
Hey, it's time to go to our health tip from the friends at the Kansas State University Veterinarian Health Center up in Manhattan, Kansas. Great partners we have there and just full of resources that they have that can help take care of a horse.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking with Dr. Catherine Delph about weight loss in the winter. So check it out. Let's go listen to it.
Hey, welcome to the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center Tip of the Week. And I'm here with Dr. Delph here from Kansas State University, an internal medicine doctor, one of the best out there. And so glad to have you on, Doc.
Great. Thanks for having me, Ernie.
You know, and we talk about something that everybody's talking about, it seemed like this year, and it's handling the cold, you know, and with handling the cold, you have to sometimes deal with don't get behind and the horse is losing weight. Can you kind of address that a little bit during the winter?
Yeah. It's definitely can be a big problem, especially with these extreme cold weather swings that we're having. And horses really do rely on, you know, what they eat to maintain body condition. And especially in this cold weather, they really rely on forage, so hay, in order to ensure that they can produce body heat. So all that digestion that they do with their hay results in heat production in general. So that helps them stay warm. And so then if they're staying warm, then hopefully they're not losing condition from shivering or doing other activities that use up calories to stay warm in general.
You know, Doc, another thing I think, as far as we think of hay, we think of calories and things like that. But one thing I can't help thinking that affects their intake is water quality and them being able to drink water.
Yeah, it's definitely a big problem, again, especially with these extreme cold weather swings. So it is really important to, you know, I'd say at least twice a day, check their water and make sure that it's not frozen. And another thing to kind of keep in mind is maybe even more frequently with these extreme cold weather swings is to check that water more frequently, because horses will increase their amount of hay that they eat to try to stay warm. And so then we are at risk of horses that maybe don't drink enough, or if their water gets frozen, that then they don't drink and then they get impactions and then they start to show colic signs. So it can be kind of a vicious cycle of them eating more to stay warm, but then not drinking enough and then having problems with their GI tract in general.
I'll tell you what, Doc, we appreciate you being on. One thing I want to urge to our listeners out there, Kansas State University is a great resource when it comes to helping your horse. And always work with your local vet, form a team between the local vet and the university. And it's so great. I have to tell you about K-State. They're just a great facility, great resource, and they're very user-friendly. And if I'm correct, Doc, number 785-532-5700.
Yep, that's correct. Call us anytime. And of course, keep working with your local veterinarian with any concerns with weight loss or this cold weather.
We appreciate everything Kansas State University does.
Thanks, Ernie.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we appreciate Dr. Delph and all our friends there at Kansas State University's Veterinary Health Center. And, you know, weight loss, it's an issue with horses. It has not been an issue with me this winter, Dawn.
I'm with you on that. How about you, Ernie?
I can lick a stamp and gain weight.
Well, they always provide tips that are very helpful for us. And at this time of year, we appreciate them. And boy, we've got a great show lined up. I can't wait to get to it, but we better take a break before we get there, Dawn. This is Better Horses Radio. Stay with us.
No matter what discipline of riding you do, training, showing, and everyday stress is hard on your horse's legs. Dekra Veterinary Products is a leading lameness company that brought you OsFos. OsFos is a clodronate injection and intramuscular bisphosphonate to help control the clinical signs of navicular syndrome in horses 4 years and older. Ask your veterinarian if OsFos is right for your horse. Dekra Veterinary Products is a proud sponsor of The American.
Runny nose, cough, fever. It's flu season for humans and horses. Like human flu vaccines, equine flu vaccines must be updated to protect against the flu strains circulating now. Merck Animal Health's flu-containing vaccines include the most current flu strains, protecting your horse from illness and time missed training because of it. Talk with your veterinarian about Prestige flu vaccines and learn more about the science of advanced protection at prestigevaccines.com.
We're here for the hardworking, the resilient. We're for the people who measure their days by what needs to get done, not by hours. Where kids learn responsibility at a young age and generations work side by side. Where work doesn't pause for holidays or bad weather. It just gets harder. Where value and hard work means more than the clothes you wear. We're Kleinschmidt's Western Store, Higginsville, Missouri.
Routine dental examination and treatments are essential for high-quality horse care. To prevent potential problems, a horse's mouth should be examined at least once a year. I'm Dr. Chris Blevins, Equine Field Service Veterinarian at Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. We can examine the mouth and provide a treatment plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
Hey, we're back. Thanks for listening to Better Horses Radio. I'm Ron McDaniel.
And I'm Ernie Rodina.
And I'm Dawn Dawson. And our next guest is brought to us by Merck Animal Health. We love Merck Animal Health. They've got a lot of products out there for your horse. Safeguard, Panacure, their prestige line of vaccines, they've got what you need. So check with your vet about what you need to be doing this time of year versus worming, vaccines, and then look at the products that Merck Animal Health has for you. So check it out, merckanimalhealth.com. Hey, Ernie and Ron, we are so excited to have this guy with us, Guy McLean. We'd love having him on. It's been a while, and so we are anxious to get him back on. He's a two-time world champion, Road to the Horse competitor, one-time Equitana Way of the Horse champion. He started out in cowboy poetry, believe it or not.
Wow.
And we have Guy McLean with us. Are you with us, Guy?
Yeah, sure am. Nice to be with you all again.
Great to have you on, Guy. It's been too long.
Yeah, I agree, mate. It's nice to see you.
Good to see you. Been really excited about getting you on the radio today and appreciate you. Sounds like you're career just keeps going and going, and hear nothing but great things.
Oh, I really appreciate that. It's horses aren't something I do for a living. They're my entire life, and to be able to make a living out of what I love so much and be able to share them with the world has been a true blessing, and I'm very grateful.
Hey, Guy, if you would, for our listeners that may not be as familiar with you, take us back. How'd you get started? Did you grow up on a horse ranch or a station, maybe as they call there in Australia? Give us some background.
Yeah, you betcha. I've written a couple of articles about this. A lot of people, when they see me on the world stage, they would probably assume that I'm a fourth or fifth time generation, whether it be a cowboy here in America or an Australian stockman in Australia. But I'm the son of a very handy footballer. My dad was a great Australian rules footballer. He played at a representative level. And then my mum was a nurse, and they were basically both brought up in inner city Melbourne. And so I'm a first-generation horseman. And when growing up as a young boy, we moved from Victoria, from City Victoria to Queensland when I was 1 year old. I've been on and around horses since I was 16 months old. Our next-door neighbours, who are all third- and fourth-time generation cattlemen in Australia, they used to call us greenhorns. And that's basically not a very nice way of saying that we know nothing about the animals or about living in the country. We've gone on. I've trained horses for them. My brother's clean property for them, dug dams for them, fixed fence. So they don't call us that anymore. But basically with my dad, he was a very good footballer and a great father. And he basically said to us when we were kids, I don't care what you do with your horses, as long as you have fun and you treat them with respect and you're safe. And I've based my entire life off of that. And I've seen traditional people that have been fourth or fifth time generation, a lot of the time they do things with their horses because their granddaddy did it or because someone has told them to do it. Because of those guidelines that Dad sent to me, I went out and I asked the horses, does this make sense to you? I've always been totally blown away by their power and their strength and their beauty without us around. A foal comes and hits the ground in half an hour, they're doing things that we wish as trainers we can do after 10 years of training. They can slide to a stop, they can spin, they can fly and change. And so every day when I work with a young horse, I say, I see you as perfection already. God made a wonderful animal in you, and I just want to be able to work with you so you can share those gifts with me. And so I'm really grateful that I didn't have that traditional, you have to do this or you have to do that. And I've let horses guide me ever since I was a little kid, and I'm just so grateful for their presence in my life.
Well, Guy, kind of walk us through. We've got listeners and even myself, you know, years ago, when a youngster was starting out, maybe they didn't have all the tools that are out there today, the videos, the online YouTubes that you could Zoom. Who was your influence? Where'd you learn how to get around a horse safely and be as effective as you are?
Thank you. Well, my best horsemanship teachers were Nancy and Navajo and a little mare called Sunny. Like I can take you back. If we had 4 or 5 hours, I could tell you the things that I'm going to do at Road to the Horse in this come in March. And I'm going to tell you the horse that showed me how to do it. The things I do and the way that I bridle them now, the way they mouth them. I could tell you a horse that helped me do that. I could tell you another horse that required me to be this particular way. So other than my dad and my brother, when I was young, main things they said to us was keep your hands down, your heels down, and your mouth shut. So that was basically all we were told when we were young, and everything else I was able to make up as I went along. So it's really the horses that I've worked with. And people say to me, well, that can't be true. Horses can't teach you. And I said, well, that's totally wrong. A horse knows more about being horsed within 10 minutes of being alive than we will know after 100 years on this earth chasing this path called horsemanship. So I'm very, very open to listen to them all the time. And I work with every horse like they're an individual. And something that I won't do, and I've never done it, is call a horse dumb or say to them, why can't you learn? Because a lot of people will, I saw a young boy here in Texas just yesterday, said, oh, this horse is dumb. And as soon as he calls him dumb, he doesn't have to look into him anymore. He doesn't have to help him. Or I might say this horse doesn't know much yet, but I'm going to help him. You know, every horse has the ability to do something special, as every human does. So I was the youngest of five boys, and my brothers used to say that stuff to me. They'd say, why can't you get it? What are you, stupid? And I tried my very best. And a lot of the things that they said I was no good at, I'm now the best in my family at. It just took me a little time. I had to work at it and I had to try harder. And it's the horses that don't get things easy. Like, we're trying to breed better horses all the time. We're trying to breed faster, a quicker turn and better stop. And we're trying to breed all those things. But don't ever look past the horse that gives us a little bit of trouble, the horse that takes a little while to come around to our way of thinking, because God made them to come into this world to look after themselves, to basically run until they're free, to fight pressure, to push into pressure. And if they don't do that with any passion and desire, when we teach them what we want from them, all the things that we're looking for, they won't do that with passion and desire either. So the more difficult, the more highly strung, the more flighty horses I've worked with have been my best teachers, and by far have turned out to be the very best horses I've ever had anything to do with. My wonderful old 20-year-old gelding Spin Abbey, who's one of the only horses in the world who can canter backwards on request, and he can canter sideways as fast as he can go forward, and I can do 100 flying single-time lead changes on him in a row. He used to do those things against me. The first ride I gave him, he just went galloping sideways, and I had to teach him to do that for me, and now he does it in arenas all over the world at my request. But he was just saying, this is who I am, and I had to work with him with where he was at. And a lot of people used to look at him and say he was erratic or he was a little crazy. He's the most incredible horse I've ever joined with in my life, and I'm so grateful for him. And I don't try to make him be anything that he is. I just ask him to be the best that he can be.
Talking about Spin Abbey, and I want to make sure that folks can go see a video that was one of the first things I ever saw Guy McLean do for Prefert. You represent Prefert in all your events. And so if you guys want to go see something real cool and see Spin Abbey, just what he's talking about, go to YouTube and just search for Prefert Guy McLean, and it pops right up. It's one of the first videos that'll pop up, and you can watch Spin Abbey at Prefert in a Prefert stall doing all the fun things that he knows how to do.
He's a special boy.
Well, Dawn, yeah. I watched that YouTube, and it showed us something that I didn't know about Guy McLean, and he's got quite a sense of humor. He's maybe he's moving from here to a job on the big screen. He played a number of roles in the video that I saw, and that was really creative, Guy. Who came up with that?
I did. I wanted to share with the world who he is. He is a People have called him a freak. They've said he's a one in a million. He just, he as easy as most good horses can canter in a straight line, Spin Abbey cantered in place like that. He's, you lay your calves on him, he leaps 3 foot in the air. He's just like riding an electric toy. He's just the most amazing horse. And he's now in his 20s, and we're at the Prefert Ranch. I just gave him a body clip the other day because he's quite hairy in the winter. And he looks like he's getting older, and he looks like he doesn't have those movements in him. And then I ride him twice, and I actually had him at the wildcard event in Fort Worth 3 months ago, and had a young man come up to me and go, is this the horse that can canter backwards? And I said, yes, mate, he is. He said, well, you do it here. I said, I probably won't. He's 19. He hasn't been worked for 8 months, so I won't do it to him. It's hot here. And I ride him into the arena, and a little bit of the air con from that Fort Worth arena hit him, and he was going to canter backwards whether I wanted to or not. He's the kind of horse that says, don't you ever let me be anything but brilliant. So he did that for them that day, and his heart is just amazing. I've got some other horses, my two Road to the Horse World Champions, actually. If they haven't been ridden for 6 months, they need a little bit of time to come back in physical. They heavy breathe and they sweat easily, but not Spin Abbey. He's waiting to be brilliant at any point in time, and that's what makes him a horse that I've never seen one like him before, and I've never seen one like him again. I'm just so grateful that I still have him in my life.
Guy, take us from a young man who learned from the horse to a man now that is, as you said, is able to make a living doing something you love. Tell, kind of take us from that young man to you got to make a living, you got to put food on the table. And so walk us through that.
Well, thank you. Well, as I say, I'm the youngest of five boys. We moved from Victoria. My mum didn't want to bring us kids up in the city. She just had a feeling. And mum's very spiritual, and as am I now. And I think that's why horses and I fit so good, is because I never feel closer to God than when I'm riding a horse. Like, they are just, I think they're just one step from him. And so mum just had feelings she had to raise us kids in the bush. And I'm really glad she did, because I'd have made a pretty confused city kid, I think. I wouldn't have been real good at sport because I didn't want to hurt anyone. I've got the body of a footballer. My coach has always got really excited about me because they thought that I could do some damage on the football field, but I never wanted to hurt anyone. I wanted to be someone's friend. I was always real shy. And when I was around the horses, and we've owned 50 horses since I was young, because my parents bought an 1,800-acre property back then, was 1,600 acres, and for $85,000, and turned it into a resort so people could horse ride there and water ski and such. And all my brothers, as they went through school at 15 years of age, we all left school, and the first job was there was taking the horse rides and taking care of the 50 horses. And because I was the youngest of five boys, I was the last boy in line to do that job. And then my beautiful sister was born 5 years after me. Well, she didn't stay on the property. So I did that job for 9 years and was taking horse rides with guests and training horses that had to be quiet enough to put up with people who don't know what they're doing. And I remember going to school at about 8 or 9 and on a career day sort of thing, and everyone said, what do you want to be? And I said, I want to be a horseman. I didn't really know what that looked like. I just know I had to spend my life with them, because when I was around them, I felt better. I felt stronger. I felt faster. People wanted to talk to me. They were a missing piece in my life. And my family were all seemed so adept at everything. They seemed so much more confident than me and so much more adept with different things. I wore glasses from the time I was 5 till I was 15. And back in those days, if you wore glasses, you got picked on a lot. But that just pushed me to my horses more. Every time that I had a little shutdown from people, it just made me delve deeper into the horsemanship. So I'm really glad I wasn't that popular kid at school. I'm thrilled that I wasn't the oldest son in my family. I really feel like everything in my life has led me down this path of needing these animals. And now to be able to ride in front of 20,000 people and people want to come up and talk to you, and that because of what the horse has given to me. But I say there's so many ways we can be in the horse industry. We can be a breeder, and you put your best mare to your best stallion and you watch that baby grow and you have to say goodbye to it. My heart won't let me do that. That's why I've got 34 horses. Once they commit to me and give themselves to me, I've got horses that will live their lives out. Whatever I can pay for their feed and look after them, they'll never go anywhere, and no amount of money will buy them off of me, or it's my job to look after them. So there's breeding aspect, there's the training aspect, which I had to do back through COVID. The last 2 years I was training horses for the public just to pay the bills. And you have the horses for 4 weeks. They go from not knowing who you are and not caring about your presence to wanting to be with you every moment. When you leave them, it makes you sad. And so the entertainment was the only way that I got to stay in the industry and be paid to ride my own horses. And that's why.
Hey, folks, Guy, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. We've got to take a commercial break, but folks, don't punch me in the stomach, because we're going to bring Guy right back after this break. We've asked him the question, and it's fascinating to hear the journey of how he came to be one of the best trainers that Australia, in fact, the horse world has produced. This is Better Horses Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Thanks for listening to Better Horses Radio. I'm Ron McDaniel.
And I'm Murray Rodina.
And I'm Dawn Dawson. And our next segment is brought to us by Dekra. They are the makers of Osfos. It's a great product. If you have a horse with navicular, read about Osfos, O-S-P-H-U-S. It's pretty amazing. They've had great success with it. And you'll be surprised. Talk to your vet about Osfos, O-S-P-H-U-S. Hey, Ron, we are still with Guy McLean, and we're just having such a good time. It's so intriguing to listen to this guy talk and tell about his history. And Guy, are you back with us?
Sure am. Hey, Guy, we kind of cut you off right after you moved from taking care of the family string and kind of keeping those horses working nice for people who don't really spend much time around horses, to do a little training and pick it up from there and kind of take us on into the life of Guy McLean and his horses.
Oh, thank you very much. So I took rides for about 5 or 6 years, and we'd prepare the horses for, and my dad used to say, son, you're trying to ride them too pretty. You need to sort of fall down their neck and roll off their back like the guests are going to do. And I said, Dad, I can't do that. I can't pull on that young horse's mouth, and I can't put myself in a bad position. I said, I'll get them going, and then you get someone else to do that, because it's not in my heart to ride any less than I am. And I've always been told I had a little bit of a gift with horses, but the only gift I feel I've ever had is every day I ride, regardless of my level of understanding or my level of knowledge or my level of health or my level of skill, I give my very, very best to the horse in that moment. And I think a horse really knows. So if I was to go and pretend that I was something less than what that I am, the horse would say to me, that's not your best. And I think that's why horses are so incredible with little kids and so amazing with people with Down syndrome and with people with disabilities, is they know that those children or those individuals are doing their very best, and the horse fills in for them. So I said to Dad, I can't do that. And I said, Dad, I've got these horses going, and then I watched the guests pull them backwards. I said, I'm 21 now, and I want to start. Would you let me buy some horses? And back then, you know, horses are selling now for $250,000 up to $500,000 in Australia and America. Back then, you'd buy horses from the dogger sales and the livestock yards for $150, $200. So Dad said, well, you can. I'll give you $1,000, but you get as many horses as you can for that, and then you go and you train them up, and then you sell them, and you make a business out of it. But it'll be, you know, it'll live by you or how much effort you put in. I'm really grateful for Dad for that. He'd help us, but we had to do the rest of it. I'm super thrilled. So I bought 5 horses for $650, and there was a $200 colt in there that called Nugget, and I used to ride him into my house. I used to do The Man from Snowy River, which is one of Australia's best bush poems. The Man from Snowy River movie was based on it. I used to recite that poem because of the way it made me feel. It was basically like watching a movie. It's a 6-minute poem, and in that 6 minutes, I'd be that man chasing those wild horses up in the mountains. And when Dad found out I could do it, he said, why don't you come in and we'll do it for some travel agents? There's 60 people are coming to look at our property. And I was so nervous back then. I was so shy. I couldn't look someone in the eye. You know, we always told to, but I always felt small and insignificant. But when I rode, I'd talk to the queen and be happy to shake her hand. You know, the horses made me feel so much better about myself. So I rode a beautiful little sister of a mare that I paid $100 for and had 3 weeks of training on her. I rode her into the house and recited the poem, and it kind of just built from there. I was, horses were my main goal and objective, but the poetry sort of pulled me out of my shyness, and I started taking Nugget with me to these events. He looked just like Jim Craig's horse from The Man from Snowy River, and I used to recite on stages. The biggest crowd I ever performed in front of in the beginning with him was 20,000 people on a hill at the Gympie Music Muster. And then people saw my horsemanship. They saw me riding in bridleless and saddleless around the back, because that to me was, if the horse didn't want to do it without the gear on it, he didn't really want to do it. It's like, yeah, your dog loves you, but what happens when you unclick the collar? If he runs away, he's not really with you. So I was doing those things back before, as you said before YouTube, before all that stuff. I didn't know anyone else who was riding bridleless and saddleless. I wanted it so bad. I wanted to know my horses were doing it for real reasons, not just because of how hard I pulled or how hard I kicked. And then the more I did it, people, you know, I wanted to get out to be a trainer. So I started to travel around a bit, and the more people saw me and then they started to pay us to go to events, I realized that I could actually get paid to ride my own, because I did have to sell 3 of my best horses to buy my first registered horse back in Australia. And I cried for weeks. You know, those horses had given me everything that they could. I gave everything to them, and it broke my heart to have to say goodbye to them. And, you know, I've owned probably 40 or 50 horses in my life and hardly sold one. And I'm just so grateful for the life I get to live, that the horses that are in training now, I have 3 teams across 2 countries. They're paying for the horses for my future, and they're paying for the horses of my past. Dear old Nugget is 28 now and still alive and well. He's eating $500 worth of feed a week because we take special care of him. He's got no teeth, but he still looks wonderful. And, you know, it's what they give to us is just, we just want to give back to them. And to be able to see the light in children's eyes. And not only that, the future of the horse industry is the kids, so that's important to me. But to have lifetime ranchers and people have been around horses their whole life who come up and say, you make me want to be better for my horses. You make me want to be better for the horses that are in my string now. And you make me want to be better for the horses I train tomorrow. That's so wonderful. And that's something that's bigger than me now. And whenever I get tired, and I get worn out and the miles get heavy, I just remember that the next show I do might help another 100 horses. The next show I do might have another child say, these animals, I want to spend my life with them like he does. And so it's a powerful thing that keeps pushing me along.
Well, the first time I heard of Guy McLean, I was at the National Finals Rodeo. Ernie, you were there. Jim was out there, and they said, you guys, you've got to go see Guy McLean. He's out by the arena building. He is amazing. And we were all so thrilled to get to see you. You had just come to the United States in 2010 when we got to see you there. And so now you're traveling back and forth. You just got back from Australia. You were there for 3 months or so doing events and things. But you've got a big event coming up here again, two-time winner of it, Road to the Horse. What's it feel like going back there again?
It holds some different feelings to me. When I last did it, I rode the beautiful gelding that I competed on back in 2013. I'm getting him fit because he's going to help me. He's going to be my lead horse for this event. And whenever I ride him, it takes me back to those first 3 days of his education. And that's what's so cool about Road to the Horse is that you get to see what a lot of people don't see. There's competitions for everything else in the world, for show jumping and dressage and polo and cutting and all those wonderful events. But there wouldn't be one of those events that could happen without someone giving that young horse their very first ride. And that doesn't get celebrated enough. So Road to the Horse absolutely celebrates those first three rides of a horse's life. And you basically get to go in a position where you don't normally get to see. You know, I see the greatest horses in the world now. I'd love to have seen what they were like in their first and second ride. We see them when they're at their height of their winnings. Well, I would love to have been there and seen them when they didn't know the right answers. And normally the greatest horses in the world, the best warm blood dressage horses, the best cutters, they've normally got stories of when in the beginning they weren't what you see 5 years later. They were a handful, and they were making decisions that were based on an instinct and based on natural brilliance. And just like Spin Abbey, cantering sideways on me, you know, threw my outside leg on his third ride, and now you only see him stay between my legs and be wonderful. So Road to the Horse is a wonderful place for that. It's a little difficult for me as a horseman because you're being judged, and you're being judged by the eyes of someone who looks at horsemanship and looks at training a little differently. So the 2 years I won, I was well behind in the points. So that was kind of hard for me. You know, these are peers in my industry that were basically telling me by a point schedule system that I wasn't doing the right thing. But I just knew in my heart that it was. I actually went back in both times. I went back into my dear Liberty horses in the stables, who look upon me like a father and a friend. They seriously do. They whinny for me when they hear me coming around the corner. And I wept into their ear and I said, that they don't understand. I said, they're marking me down for things that I did with you. And I said, I will not change. I'm not going to go out and be anything different from what I did with you, because I think you are just the best in the world. And they just hung their head in my chest as if to say, you're all right, Dad, we believe in you. And then, thank God, my two horses were just so wonderful. It was undeniable. They couldn't do anything but give us the buckle. So I've been told this year that the judge is going to be a little bit more open-minded. What I do is a little bit different. I am different in the way I approach, because as we've mentioned, I'm not trained by a human. I'm not trained by the judges. I'm not trained by conventional methods. So I'm doing what horses have shown me. And when I won the first 2 years, I was told that my method was unorthodox. It's not unorthodox to the horses. The horses look for a leader worth following, and that's what I am when I go into that arena. So I'm hoping that by being there and by showcasing what I do, that people will start to not call it unorthodox, but just to say it makes sense to the horse. Maybe we need to look in a little bit more to it as well.
Well, now having heard your history and how you learned to train horses, that all makes sense. And a lot of people just don't know that story about you, that, you know, you the horses taught you, and that's just continuing on. And it's pretty amazing. We've got just a few minutes left, and I want to talk about the horses that you use. You use the Australian stock horses for the most part, right? And how do they compare to the quarter horses?
Well, when we went into Road to the Horse the first year, I picked a beautiful gelding called Ozzy, who's a grandson of Paddy's, who's by Paddy's Irish Whiskey, grandson of Pepe Sandbadger. man, as a three-year-old and that, I thought he looked like a stock horse. He was big and leggy. You know, the stock horses are between 14 and 16 hands, and your typical Australian stock horse is a thoroughbred-based horse to look at. He looks like a thoroughbred, but he's got natural cattle working ability, but a little bit different from the quarter horse. The quarter horse, when he works a cow, he'll spread his legs and lower down on his belly. An Australian stock horse is a bit more like a rugby player. He'll stand up strong and he wants to run to that cow and push him around, a little bit like the working cow horse. We have a sport in Australia called camp drafting, and they'll do a like a working cow competition, but with bullocks. You say these cattle are quite often as big as the horses that are pushing them around. And it's the skills of the Australian outback, and it's done at a flat gallop in a big open arena. And so the Australian stock horse is known famously now as the breed for every need. So I have a beautiful stallion called Dreamin' of Abbey, and he will work a cow and look much like a cutter. Then I can gather him up and make him look much like a warm blood doing dressage. Then I can flatten him out and make him look like a polo pony. Then he'll gather up and do these other things. And I think the quarter horses are so beautifully bred now for a specific sport. Like, there's no better cutting horse in the world than the American bred quarter horse cutter, but he would look probably a little bit out of place in the dressage ring. So the Australian stock horse, he may not win in every competition he goes to, but you could take him in five different competitions in five different disciplines and saddles over the day, and he wouldn't look out of place in any one of them. So I'm the ambassador of the Australian Stock Horse because I'm so proud of our country. And the Stock Horse Society said to me, you won't shut up about him. You talk about him all over the world. We best make you our ambassador. And I said, well, whether you do that officially or not, I love our breed. I love what they stand for, and I want to share them with the world. But I'm open to the Stock Horse Society and to everyone. I love horses of every shape, size, and breed. But if I could only ride one, it would be an Australian stock horse.
Well, Guy, we've got about a minute left. And tell our listeners where they could learn more about Guy McLean, where they could follow you, where they could see where you might be.
Thank you. I have a public figure page. It's something that I do reply to and try to work. It's hard for me. I'd much rather be with the horses, but I have a public figure page with 190,000 followers, and we let a lot of people know where we are going and what we're doing within that public figure page, just Guy McLean.
Guy, it's been a real privilege to get on here and hear you. You just excites us all when we listen to you. You're a tremendous horseman, tremendous individual, and how fun this interview has been.
So very grateful to be able to talk to you all and your viewers. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this wonderful show.
Yep, it's been a privilege. We'd love to have you back again, and we'll be excited to follow you at the Road to the Horse.
Please do. And fingers crossed we get to talk again, and I'll have another wonderful 4/6 gelding with me.
That'd be awesome. Hey, you guys, you can see all about Guy McLean on Facebook, Guy McLean, as he said. Check it out. A lot of the stuff that he did in Australia is on there right now, so you can go see what he's been doing. So thank you, Guy. We appreciate
it. Pleasure. Have a wonderful day, everyone. See you later.
Okay. All right. You too.
Bye-bye. Folks, this has been Better Horses. We'll be right back.
No matter what discipline of riding you do, training, showing, and everyday stress is hard on your horse's legs. Dekra Veterinary Products is a leading lameness company that brought you OsFos. OsFos is a clodronate injection and intramuscular bisphosphonate to help control the clinical signs of navicular syndrome in horses 4 years and older. Ask your veterinarian if OsFos is right for your horse. Dekra Veterinary Products is a proud sponsor of The American.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dylan Luter, a specialist in equine performance medicine at the Kansas State University Veterinary Health Center. Our new service focuses on lameness diagnosis, advanced imaging, physical therapy, and regenerative medicine for horses with injuries preventing them from performing at their best. We can treat a variety of conditions and design a customized rehabilitation plan to meet the needs of each client and their horse. Visit us at ksvhc.org, the Veterinary Health Center, to discover, to teach, to heal.
John Deere is known for quality equipment. This quality has created a perception that John Deere is more expensive than other brands. But high quality doesn't mean high price. The truth from buyers in our area is customers who have purchased a John Deere compact utility tractor saved more than $2,000 when buying from Heritage Tractor. Dare to compare us before buying. You and your wallet will be surprised. Nothing runs as long as a Deere, and we'll prove it with our exclusive 10-year warranty. Visit heritagetractor.com/compare to to learn more.
It's time to fall into forage and save. Stanley Premium Western Forage is offering one of the biggest promotions of the year. Buy any three Stanley products and get $5 off. Stanley Premium Western Forage offers the highest quality premium forage from the western United States. During the summer months, Stanley's farm employees carefully nurture and harvest their fields to make sure the forage meets their product specifications and exceed your quality standards. Winter is coming. Get prepared now with the help of Stanley Premium Forage. Visit stanleyforage.com/coupons to download your coupon now.
Runny nose, cough, fever. It's flu season for humans and horses. Like human flu vaccines, equine flu vaccines must be updated to protect against the flu strains circulating now. Merck Animal Health's flu-containing vaccines include the most current flu strains, protecting your horse from illness and time missed training because of it. Talk with your veterinarian about Prestige flu vaccines and learn more about the science of advanced protection at prestigevaccines.com.
We're here for the hardworking, the resilient. We're for the people who measure their days by what needs to get done, not by hours. Where kids learn responsibility at a young age and generations work side by side. Where work doesn't pause for holidays or bad weather. It just gets harder. Where value and hard work means more than the clothes you wear. We're Kleinschmidt's Western Store, Higginsville, Missouri.
It's time to go with United Mosquito and Fly Control's premier fly system for fly control in your barn, providing relief for horses from the stress of fighting flies. It also makes a barn more pleasant for everyone in the barn. Easy, effective, and safe. With United Mosquito and Fly Control, we provide a full service. You as the barn owner don't have to do anything. We go everywhere and take care of everything with our friendly fast service. Call today at 913-558-3814 or email Paul at unitedmosquito.com.
If you're passionate about the environment and your horse's bedding, we urge you to look into WRG Eco Shred Bedding. Made from clean, recycled corrugated cardboard, Eco Shred provides absorbent, biodegradable animal bedding, vacuumed out so it's dust-free and highly absorbent. Eco Shred Bedding is made from recycled materials, perfect for horses and small animals. Save the environment and order the finest bedding for your barn. Go to NebraskaWRG.org or call Heartland Horse Products at 620-637-2455.
Hey, we're back. Thanks for listening to Better Horses Radio. I'm Ron McDaniel.
I'm Ernie Rudina.
And I'm Dawn Dawson. And our next segment is brought to you by Stanley Premium Western Forage. We love Stanley Forage around here. We hope you have tried it. If you haven't, go to Stanley Premium Western Forage's website at stanleyforage.com. You can see all the dealers listed where you can buy it. You can get it just about anywhere your horse feed's at. So go check it out, stanleyforage.com.
Great product. I tell you what, so versatile, you can use it in your feeding program, second to none. Hey, it was a lot of fun with our guest today. And, you know, that cattle segment is going over real well. Show me a cattleman that has cattle. I'll show you one that probably loves horses too. And so it's been really good to have our segment on there, and it's going really well.
Speaking of which, Ernie, you just did a segment with Brandon Pulaski. Let's go listen to that.
Hey, folks, I'm here at the Harris Angus Ranch here in Ottawa, Kansas, and so glad you all could join us and got a great segment we're going to be promoting. It's, the fifth year, if I'm correct, Brandon, right?
Yes, this will be our fifth annual for sale.
We got Brandon Pulaski, who is just a tremendous resource when it comes to cattle, feed, you name it. And Brandon, thanks for letting us be a part of your show today, and we're really excited to have you on.
Well, I'm excited to be here and loving the weather today. It's almost 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's good. We're that much closer to spring.
Not close enough.
Yeah. So glad you're here. And we got a big, it just seemed like it's just the time's flying by. We got we're talking about the fifth annual spring sale of bulls by the Harris, and your ranch has contributed to it. Tell us about this event that's going on.
Well, it'll be March 25th at the ranch there, just off 50 Highway, southwest of Ottawa, Kansas. And like you said, it's our fifth annual production sale. This year, we're going to offer 40 spring and fall bulls for sale. We've got 16 registered spring females ready to be bred. And we'll have some commercial pairs and some commercial heifers and things like that for sale also that day.
Well, you guys really work at it. You work at it from records and standpoints like that. And it's got to be rewarding to see what the end results are.
Yeah, we took our pictures this past weekend for the catalog. You know, it's amazing. You know, you feed them every day, you walk through them once in a while, but you start putting them in pens and maybe blowing them off a little bit to get them ready for pictures. And you get with them, and it's just shocking how big, you know, and how well they're doing. This is the most exciting thing we've seen. We're so excited to promote this sale this year. The bulls just look phenomenal. I think we've got 12 fall 18-month-old bulls for sale, and the balance of the 40 will be the spring yearlings, and just really looking nice this year.
Well, I tell you what, I've seen them. You're my neighbor. I've seen them over there. They look great. And this is, like you said, the fifth sale. You've had some pretty good success with the other bulls you've been selling.
Yeah, we've really, every year just gets a little bit better, and we're really excited about this year just because of the quality and also testing the quantity a little bit. We're basically selling twice the bulls this year that we did last year, and we had to cut several back from coming into the sale just to keep what we thought would be too many bulls to offer at one time. So the cows are really coming around after doing this for this long. We can finally start matching up and seeing the cattle that really do well, selecting from them and picking those pairings that we want to create. And it's just been an amazing process this year to see how many came forward and what the quality was like.
Now, you can see the videos of these bulls, but how can they see them, Brandon?
We just got that information, or just took the pictures and videos this weekend, so we won't have that for a couple of weeks yet. But when we get that, we'll be sure and put out the website. But Harris Angus will have on their webpage the information as well when it does come out, but it'll be a couple of weeks yet.
Well, that's pretty exciting. And well, I have to commend you, your team you put together with the Harris Ranch, your ranch, and you just like G and Hall together, all of you promoting these bulls, and really I hear nothing but great things. And the sale starts on Saturday. It's Saturday, is it the 25th?
Yeah, 25th of March. The sale will actually start at 1. Lunch will be at noon. Of course, the cattle will be available for viewing anytime between now and then. Just get a hold of one of us, and we'd be happy to show you around.
Well, we're really excited about it. That's the you can go to the website. What's the best way to go look at the bulls? The website would be?
It's harrisangus.com.
Harrisangus.com. Brandon, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for all what you guys do in the and the Harris team do and producing that fine beef to be.
Well, we sure enjoy what we do, and it's just one great big family, and it's been a lot of fun and a great blessing.
Well, come down and see the folks there at where the sale's being held, and get a chance to see some of these great bulls. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Ernie.
And so, you guys, just to make sure you get the website, go to harrisangus.com. That's harrisangus.com. They'll have their cattle video pictures going on in just a couple weeks, so you can see everything that's happened for their sale March 25th. So go check that out.
And I'll tell you what, I'd recommend if you get a chance, you're looking for a bull, or get a chance, come out to that sale at March, I think it's March 25th.
That's right. Hey, Ernie, you know what time it is?
It's that time. It's time to get that peanut out of my throat. That's what it is. But anyway, had a blast today with you guys, and so glad to be teamed up with the folks here at Better Horses and promote the cattle, the horses, you name it. And folks, don't forget to go to our website, betterhorses.com, and put all any of your events on there, and calendar, and get on there, and also contact me, Ernie, at betterhorsesradio.com or
on at betterhorsesradio.com. I can't believe it. The show's just flies by, Ernie.
Hey, it's that time I hate every week. I want y'all to be good buckaroos and buckarettes. Mind your moms and dads. We want you to be brave, but don't take any chances out there. Find that person you know and love and give them a hug and tell them you love them. And I'm talking to Connie and Brent and Nick. How about with you guys? You got anybody you want to holler at?
I do want to give a shout out to Jeff, JD, Carmen, Justin, and Hattie, Lowell and Teresa, Danny and Teresa. You guys be good. Ron, how about you?
Nancy, Kelby, Michelle, Red, Nikki, Che, Destiny, and Becca. That's my family. And they got a whole bunch of kids between them. We'll rattle them off next show.
Till next week, I'm Ernie Rodina.
I'm Ron McDaniel.
And I'm Dawn Dawson.
Happy trails.
And be sure to ride for the brand.